السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. So last week we talked about Bilal radhiyallahu anhu, talked about his history, his background, and how he was born into slavery. We talked about how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam appointed him as the muadhin of Masjid Nabawi when they first moved or did hijrah to Medina Munawwara, and how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually to wipe out racism and show the kuffar, the jahiliya customs are gonna be eradicated by Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did one certain action in Mecca, in Fatih Mecca. What was that?
The conquest of Mecca.
Yeah, what happened there with Bilal radhiyallahu anhu? Certain act the Prophet
sallallahu
alaihi wasallam
did. He went on the
Kaaba
and he did adhan.
Barakallahu. So he ordered Bilal to climb upon the Kaaba and make adhan. And remember, this is the time where kuffar, they were still in control of Makkah until that period, and they had jahiliya traits in them. So when they saw the Bilal, this black man on top of the Kaaba making adhan, they did not like that, and they made comments about that. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on that occasion told them that all the traits and the customs of jahiliya is under my tahta qadamiyya, meaning that it's under my foot, or I'm trampling over these customs. They're no more. So anyway, so we talk about how Bilal radhiyallahu anhu became one of the leaders of the Muslims through his actions, regardless of what color of his skin was, and how we see the Muslims love him and honor him. And even the Sahaba, they would call him Sayyiduna Bilal radhiyallahu anhu. Okay, so they loved him and honored him. Anyway, so continuing on, one of the things that we did touch upon briefly of each of these, and I want to go a little bit more detail, inshallah, is the three stages of the reaction of the kuffar against the da'wah of Islam. So when the Prophet first started giving da'wah of Islam, in the beginning, it was a somewhat private da'wah, secret da'wah. So because of that, the kuffar actually did not pay attention, and they let the Prophet ﷺ continue. They didn't really say anything. They never tried to stop him. But only when they realized that the slaves, and for example, like Bilal radhiyallahu anhu, became Muslim, and he mocked them in front of everyone. They became a mocking, laughing stock in front of everyone, where Bilal radhiyallahu anhu, the slave, is basically outdoing the master. Okay, Umayyah was not able to keep his own slave in control and was not able to get him to leave this religion. So because of that, they start getting concerned that this religion is growing, more followers, and it's changing. You know, there's father and son are fighting, husband and wife are fighting, meaning basically they're disagreeing with the religion, and it's starting to cause trouble within the families. So doing this, they started, there's three main stages of da'wah. The reaction of the da'wah. And for example, the first one I talked briefly about, and the second also, the first one is compromise. So the first thing they did was they tried to compromise with the Prophet, and they tried to make a deal with the Prophet, some kind of propositions with the Prophet ﷺ to get him to stop. And we talked about how, before I talk about that, so the second stage was actually character assassination, trying to stop the da'wah by ridiculing the Prophet ﷺ or calling him names, or putting tuhmat on him that he's crazy, or he's a sahir, he's a soothsayer, or he's a sahir, a magician, and he's a liar, and they try to do these kind of things. And the third stage, which we're going to be talking inshallah probably by next week, is the persecution, when they start physically abusing the Muslims and physically attacking not just the Muslims, but the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. So these are the three main stages of the reaction that the kuffar had. So the first one, compromise, I talked briefly about this, we touched upon this. They started making deals. First of all, they tried to get Abu Talib. They went to the uncle of the Prophet, the leader of Quraysh, and they said, can you put your nephew in check? Can you talk to him? Can you stop him from doing his da'wah? He's hurting us by calling, talking against our idols and whatnot. And Abu Talib, the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, when he realized that his nephew will not give up his mission, and that he knew, he said, "I know you're on the truth, and I know you're telling the truth." So he said, "Go ahead and say whatever you wish, and whenever and whatever you wish, I am totally behind you, and I will protect you." Then after that, I think I didn't mention this, but Surah Kafirun, for example, the revelation of Surah Kafirun came actually in Makkah Mukarram in the early days. That when they came to the Prophet ﷺ and they tried to make a deal, and they said to Rasulullah ﷺ that, "O Muhammad ﷺ, that why don't you do this? You worship our idols one day, and we'll worship your God. We'll worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one day. So let's make this kind of deal." Rasulullah said, "No way, that's not going to happen." Then they came back and they said, "Okay, what if we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 1 week, and you worship our idols for one day?" They said, "No, that's not going to happen." They said, "Okay, then what if we worship your God," meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "for 1 month, and you worship our gods for just one day?" And the Prophet ﷺ said that was not happening. That's when the Surah Kafirun, the revelation came down, and basically they were given that the Prophet ﷺ will never give up this da'wah, will never give up the worship of one God. Another thing I talked about was the proposition by Uqba ibn Rabi'a, when one of the leaders of Quraysh, he asked permission and he went, and he came back and told them basically that, you know, and he was dumbfounded by listening. He listened to the Quran and he didn't have any real response. He couldn't say anything. He came back and told them basically, "You know, I do whatever you guys want. I can't say anything in this matter." Utba ibn Rabi'a. Yeah. And another incident that happened actually close to this. And this is one of the things that Utba ibn Rabi'a, whenever they and they listened to the Quran, they knew in their hearts that it was true. But because of their inad, because of their stubbornness, because of the kufr in their heart, they just did not want to accept it. Even though they knew it was true, but they didn't want to accept it. So this is the thing, Allah protect us all from being like that. But they knew it was the truth, but in their stubbornness, they just went against it. And this is something that, the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes when you want guidance. So they had the guidance, they knew it was the truth, they could have got guided, but they didn't want it. So they rejected the guidance and they just were rejected, they died as kuffar. So one of the examples that came is this famous incident, I'm sure you've heard this before, where Abu Jahl, remember the leaders of Quraysh, Abu Jahl was one of those, even though he's called the father of ignorance, Abu Jahl, He was actually one of the notables of Quraysh, where he had a lot of intellect. Okay, and they would consult with him, and they would listen to his shura. They would ask him questions, shura, and they would listen to his shura because he had a lot of wisdom. Okay, Abu al-Hakam. Yeah, so he was called Abu al-Hakam. Al-Hakam means wisdom, and later on changed to Abu Jahl because that wisdom that he had didn't come to any use when he rejected Islam. And one of the things is that Abu Jahl, Abu Sufyan, and Ahnas ibn Shuraiq. So these three, Ahnas ibn Shuraiq was one of the leaders of Taif, from Thaqafi. So he's from Banu Thaqif, from Taif. And these three, the Prophet ﷺ would read tahajjud prayer. Remember, it was fard in the beginning on the Muslims to read tahajjud prayer. The Prophet ﷺ would be going to the Kaaba, in front of the Kaaba, and he would be reading, reciting Quran loudly in tahajjud prayer. Now, Abu Jahl, Abu Sufyan, and Ahnas ibn Shuraiq, these three secretly went near the Kaaba, and they took positions near the Kaaba to listen to the Prophet ﷺ. Now, as they're listening, they listened for a couple hours or, throughout the night. And when it's just before dawn, before they don't want to be seen, so they secretly tiptoe and just, get away, and they secretly leave that position. And when they're going on their way home, they actually meet each other. And they're like, "What are you guys doing? What are you doing here?" And they're surprised to see each other. And they actually admit to each other that, "I was listening to Muhammad ﷺ." So they're listening to the Prophet ﷺ recite Quran, because the beautiful recitation and the meaning of the Quran, and knowing in their hearts that this is true. But again, their ignorance, their arrogance, and their stubbornness led them to reject that Quran. So they're listening to this, and they said to each other while walking home, they said, you know, we can't do this. If we're seen, we're the leaders of Quraysh. If we're seen doing this, what are the common folk going to say? What are they going to see when they see us? They're going to, you know, they'll rebel against us. They'll tell us, like, well, you guys tell us, you guys are hypocrites. You guys are telling us not to listen to him. He's a sahir, he's this, he's that. And you yourself are listening there and hiding and listening to him all night. You know, how does that even make sense? So they make an oath to each other that they will not return. The second night happens to them, three of them again secretly come, and they, after, when they're departing, going home, again they see each other. And the third night, again, they make an oath the second day. The third night, again, they come, and they're listening to the Prophet ﷺ, and the third night when they're going home, now they say, you know what, this is too much. We can't do this. If we continue like this, and we're seen, we're going to lose our position. Basically, everyone's going to think we're hypocrites, so we can't continue like this. Just stop doing this. And they made an oath, and from that day on, they stopped listening to the Prophet ﷺ recite Quran. Now, Abu Jahl, again, Abu Hakam, he was Abu Hakam, but Abu Jahl, the father of ignorance, he knew in his heart, and he actually, from his own words, admitted it. So one of them is that Ahnas ibn Shuraik, after these three times that they made oath, he actually went home, and then after going home, he picked up his staff. It comes in the riwayah that he picks up his staff and he goes to the house of Abu Sufyan, and then he goes to the house of Abu Jahl, and he says to Abu Jahl, "Tell me, what do you think about this Quran? 3 days in a row we've been listening to this Quran. What's your opinion? What do you think about it?" And Abu Jahl says to Ahnas ibn Shuraik, admits it openly, that I know this is the truth, but I can't let him because he's not from my tribe. Remember, Abu Jahl is from another tribe. It's a different, you know, sister family, whatever, these family feuds and stuff like that. And he says that basically I can't let him beat us. I can't let their family beat us with this Nabi. And that was not the only occasion. There's another occasion where another person from Banu Thaqif, from Thaqafi, Mughira ibn Sha'ba Thaqafi, radiallahu anhu, he becomes Muslim later on. He says, the first time I ever met the Prophet ﷺ or knew about his mission is that me and Abu Jahl were walking in Makkah. So they're together, they're walking in Makkah. And as they're walking, Rasulullah ﷺ comes upon them, and he starts talking to them. He starts talking to Abu Jahl. He says to him, إِذَا لَقِينَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. So we met the Prophet ﷺ. فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لِأَبِي جَهَلْ يَا أَبَا الْحَكَمِ. So the Prophet ﷺ, again, he's not disgracing, he's calling, يَا أَبَا الْحَكَمِ, or the father of wisdom. He's saying, هَلُمَّ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَإِلَى رَسُولِهِ أَدْعُوكَ إِلَى اللَّهِ. He says, come and hurry to Islam, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm calling you to Islam. فَقَالَ أَبُو جَهَلٍ. So Abu Jahl retorts, he responds to him by saying, يَا مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ هَلْ أَنْتَ مُنْتَهِنْ عَنْ سَبِّ آلِهَتِنَا. That will you not stop cursing our idols? Will you not stop cursing our gods? هَلْ تُرِيدُ إِلَّا أَنْ نَشْهَدَ لَكْ أَوْ أَنَّكَ قَدْ بَلَّغْتَ. That do you want us to... Do you want us to give testimony that you've done your job, that you've given us the da'wah, and basically we're taking on ourselves, like, you know, just stop. Basically saying, stop, leave us alone, just go somewhere else, don't give us da'wah, don't talk to us, and we'll give shahada to Allah on the Day of Judgment that you have given your, you've done your job, you've done your duty. So he's saying this, that, you know, we're ready to do this if you want this. And فَوَاللَّهِ لَوْ أَنِّي أَعْلَمْ أَنَّ مَا تَقُولُ حَقٌّ لَاتَّبَعْتُكَ. So Abu Jahl says to Rasulullah ﷺ that I swear if I knew that what you're saying is true, then I would surely follow you. لَاتَّبَعْتُكَ. I would surely follow you. So he says this to Rasulullah ﷺ. Rasulullah ﷺ at that point, realize, you know, again, he turns away, goes away without saying anything. And as soon as the Prophet ﷺ is out of sight, or out of, you know, he's away, Mughira ibn Shu'bah, he says, Abu Jahl turns to me and he says, قال للمغيرة, he says to Mughira, Wallahi, I swear. Now he just said to the Prophet, I swear, if I knew you were telling the truth, I would follow you. after the Prophet ﷺ leaves, he turns to Mughira bin Shu'bah and he says, Wallahi, I swear inni la'alam ma anna ma yaqul haq. He says that I swear I know what he says is true. He's totally going against what he just said a minute ago. And he's saying that I know, I swear it's true. وَلَكِنْ يَمْنَعُنِي شَيْءٌ أَنَّ بِنِي قُسَيْءٍ. So he says, basically going on, he says that they said that we want siqaya. We want to have the feeding and the giving to drink of the pilgrims. We gave that to them. They wanted the hijaba, the covering of the Kaaba and the protecting of the gates, the keys of the Kaaba. We gave them that. So they got all this sharaf. And then they fed people and we fed people. And basically when we were two horses racing each other just inches away on the close to the finish line, now they claim that they have a Nabi. I can't let them beat us, basically. That's what he's saying. So Abu Jahl, in his arrogance, in his stubbornness, he knew that this is true, but he continues to reject it because of a family thing, not because of Izzah and losing honor and whatnot. He chooses to go to hellfire forever because of that. Allah protect us all from that. So now, the second part I was talking about, inshallah, and the third I'll talk about next week, inshallah. The second stage of the reaction that the kuffar had against the da'wah is the character assassination. Now, I talked about briefly about one of the sahaba, who famous sahaba from Ad-Daws. Anyway, you know his name? He covered his ears with cotton. Tufayl ibn Amr Ad-Dawsi radhiyallahu anhu. Barakallahu feek. So he was from Bani Dawes, from the same tribe of Abu Hurairah radhiyallahu anhu. And Tufayl ibn Amr, I talked about how he covered his ears and then he started listening to the Prophet and he became Muslim. Okay, now when he came into Makkah, the reason why he covered his ears was, again, that they sent out people outside of Makkah, like all around, surrounding Makkah, and any way someone, all the streets of Makkah, basically the entrances of Makkah, whoever was coming in, they would say, stay away from this man, his name is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, stay away from him, he's a sahir, he's this, he's that, he's a liar, just stay away from him, don't listen to what he has to say. Now, we started to do this character assassination so that people won't listen to the da'wah. Another thing, for example, the splitting of the moon. And this is from the Quran, Surah Al-Qamar, where when shaqq al-qamar, where the moon was actually split, not just something to see, or it wasn't magic or anything like that, but it was actually split in half, where the kuffar, they asked the Prophet ﷺ for a miracle. They said that, we swear by Allah that if you show us a miracle, then we'll become Muslim. And the Prophet ﷺ says, what do you want? And they say that we want to see, they just made up in their head, they said, split the moon. So the Prophet ﷺ at that point, he looks towards the moon, points towards it, and he does like a motion like this, and the moon splits in half. And it's not like just right there. Half of it goes on one side of the mountains in Mecca, and the other half goes, so totally the east and west, basically. It goes totally to two different sides. And they're all looking at this, and they're seeing this, and then they just start saying, no, you're doing magic. You're a magician and you're just doing magic and this can't happen. And they just rejected Islam right then, even though they wanted to, or they promised that they will become Muslim. Even though they were claiming that this is the Prophet ﷺ was doing magic, but then later on they said, okay, let's go and ask, because he did magic to the people who were present. Let's go ask people outside of Makkah and from other people who outside other areas of Makkah, did they see the same thing? What did they see? And we can prove that the Prophet ﷺ is a magician. But when they went, they didn't get the answer they wanted. They actually, people were saying that, yeah, what happened? The moon was in two halves. And they still rejected, even though these truths were right in front of them. So these are the things. And then one of the famous incidents that actually from Surah Muddathir, the man by the name of Walid ibn Mughira al-Makhzumi. And his son is very famous. He's a Muslim. I'm sure you guys know his name. Khalid ibn Walid. Okay, Khalid ibn Walid radhan, and actually his other brother became Muslim too. But Khalid ibn Walid is a more famous one. He became Muslim, and his father did not. He died as a kafir.
What's that, brother?
I'm sorry.
Walid ibn Walid.
Okay. Jazakallah khair. Walid ibn Walid. Jazakallah khair. Yeah. I think it was there three brothers. I think. There was a third brother. Yeah, I'm not sure. Jazakallah khair. I think that's the one, Walid ibn Walid. The other one, I think, did not become Muslim. The third one. Anyway, so there was Walid ibn Mughira al-Makhzumi. Okay, he's one of the leaders of Quraysh. And he's very wealthy. Okay, Allah SWT has given him different types of wealth. He had, you know, animals, he had business, he had, you know, he was in all kinds of businesses. So he was a very wealthy man, one of the merchants of Mecca. And one of the things about him, actually, all through his life, actually, he did not drink. He was against drinking. He knew that this is evil, and he never drank in his life. So he was one of those people that you would think would become Muslim. And he also, in the Quran, Allah SWT mentions him a couple of times where he actually listened to the Quran, and he knew, and he says that, I know this is the truth, but again, because of his stubbornness, he did not accept the truth. And one of the famous incidents is where they gathered in Dar Nadwa, and Walid ibn Mughira and Abu Jahl, Abu Sufyan, all these leaders of Quraysh, they're in there. And Walid ibn Mughira, it's basically in the tafsir and in the Quran, is mentioned how he's pacing back and forth, okay? And then how he frowns and he thinks, and he's in contemplation, thinking, what can we say about the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and what can we say about the Quran so that we can tell the people to, this is our, you know, we need to gather one opinion. We can't have two different opinions. We have to say one, we have to have one united qawl, one united front, and say one thing about the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and about the Quran, and then dissuade people from listening to the Quran in that way. So that as they're doing this shura, Walid and Mughira's pacing back and forth, and they're saying to him, okay, why don't we call him a liar? We'll call him a kadhib. And Walid and Mughira says, no, we can't do that. We never heard him tell a lie. He himself is saying that the Prophet Muhammad never told a lie in his life. So we can't say that to him. They said, okay, let's say that he's a soothsayer. He says, no, he can't be a soothsayer, because I know soothsayers, they have some kind of weird things, incantations and whatever they say. They say some weird stuff, because remember, they're affected by jinn and they're talking to jinn. So we never saw that from him. Is he a sahir? He said, no, he can't be a sahir, because they do, you know, these tying and knots and whatnot. We know that the Prophet Muhammad would not do anything like that. So they're saying these different suggestions, and he's rejected them one by one, that we can't. So after all the rejections, realizing that there's nothing they can say against the Prophet Muhammad, then Walid ibn Mughira just says, okay, let's call him Sahir. Let's just unite on that. We'll call him a magician, and that's it. And we'll call this Quran a Sihr. We'll just say it's Sihr. So na'udhu billah, they did this, they decided that. And Walid ibn Mughira, that incident is actually in Surah Mudathir. It's very interesting how Allah SWT mentions that in the Quran. And Allah SWT says about him, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان ذرني ومن خلقت وحيدا, that leave me and the one that I created by myself. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without any help of these idols and all these things that Walid ibn Mughira worships, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him by himself. He gave him, وَجَعَلْتُ لَهُ مَالًا مَمْدُودًا, and I gave him the wealth. Allah gave him the wealth. And وَبَنِينَ شُهُودًا, and I gave him all these, I gave him children, I gave him this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I created this person, I gave him wealth, I gave him family, I gave him everything that he has, all these ni'm. And he's the one who's going, and he knows in his heart that this is true, and he's still going against the truth, he's still going against Islam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about that in Surah Mudathir. I recommend everyone go and read the tafsir of those ayat, ayahs number 11 through 27. This is about Walid ibn Mughira. So inshallah we'll stop there, and next week we'll start on the third stage of the reaction, which is physical persecution, physical beatings and attempts on the life of the Prophet himself, and different stuff. We'll talk about that next week inshallah. Jazakallah. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.